Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Throughout history, there have been good kings and bad kings. There have been kings of great notoriety and kings you really don't remember much in the pages of history. There have been kings like Pharaoh who would get hard-hearted and full of self-pride, deified within themselves, becoming gods to their people. There were kings like Nebuchadnezzar, the ruler of Babylon, who vacillated between giving honor to the monotheistic belief of a one true God, the Almighty Jehovah, and then going back to his idolatry and worshiping the images of his land and of his forefathers. There were kings like Cyrus, who were friendly toward the remnant of Israel and safeguarded the rebuilding of a temple. There were kings like Herod, who had Jewish blood and yet gave himself to the allegiances of Rome and a friendship of the world. Oh, he did great renovations, and yet he was also a man of great malice and superstition, a man given to the indulgences of flesh and to the sins and perversions of fornication and adultery and all of the egregious things that would defy the Mosaic commandments and the law of God. There were kings that ruled with power and dignity and had certain glory in the annals of time. They were conquerors in battle. They were ingenious with their engineering and architectural skills. There were kings that ran from trouble and avoided conflict, basically became cowards and hid in isolation and in the corners of obscurity. And there were kings that ruined their own nations because of greed and avarice and a lack of preparation or even a belief that they were truly invincible to any outside attack. You see, the world has had kings and kingdoms, and the scripture speaks of the times of the Gentiles. We know from the book of Daniel that there are great empires of the past and one yet to come in the future. Babylonian empires and Persian empires, Grecian empires and Roman empires. Down through the centuries from the time of Christ, we've seen the Holy Roman Empire and the Byzantine Empire, the Ottoman Empire that lasted for several hundred years, coming to an end in 1917. We've seen the British Empire, and I suppose you could even call in some respect the American experiment of democracy an empire, and maybe in some respects the greatest empire that has ever existed. And yet there is one that is coming, a revived Rome, and one more king that's going to rule, one more little horn that is going to rise up and is going to subject all of those around him and the countries that are close to him, and he's going to rule that ten-toed kingdom, iron mixed with clay. Great militancy formed also with the democracies of men, the will of flesh with the desires of devils. And so we know that there are kings and kingdoms, and yet the Bible tells us in Revelation 19 and 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He shall tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath upon his vesture and upon his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, my friend, according to Revelation 19 and 11, again he's coming in righteousness. He doth judge and make war in that righteousness. He is not coming to be a passive Savior. He is not coming to be a lamb led to the slaughter. He is not coming with a muted mouth. He's not coming with a cross to carry, as this will not be a time for sin unto salvation. But he's coming as a conqueror. He's coming to destroy every atheistic and demonic criminal of truth. He is coming to establish the true laws and the fairness of righteous judgment. He is coming, and the Bible said he will judge and he will make war. I know there are many in this hour that like to make God seem like he is either tyrannical or sadistic, or he is some passive, gentle force that has no warring in him. But know this of a surety, that when the Lord comes again, he's not the lamb, but he is the lion that roars. Of course, there is the identity as the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, but his mission is different. His message has been eternal, and from the very beginning of time, time has sped toward this eternal moment when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will rule. I tell you today that the King is coming, not just another king, not just an earthly king, but a king who has power, far above all principality and power and dominion and might and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. My friend, when this king comes, it's going to be a timeless kingdom. It'll be a kingdom that doesn't have an expiration date on it. It'll be a kingdom of ceaseless peace. It'll be a kingdom of expansive joy, unspeakable, and truly full of glory. For in that day of this timeless kingdom, there'll be no more devils, there'll be no more disease, and there'll be no more death. My friend, can you picture it? Can you believe it? Can you trust it? That this is more than just some fictional plot of a clever writer. This is not a fairy tale or a fable or some thing of a mythology. This is an actuality. This is a reality. And someday soon, when the skies are lit up with the radiant face of the risen Christ, when the heavens have exploded with this invasion of truth, and every treachery is defeated, and every deception is dissipated, and every lie has been removed, my friend, we are going to enjoy the splendors of heaven. And not only when this King of Kings comes, will there be a timeless kingdom, it's going to be a treasured kingdom. Talk about gold. You're talking about a New Jerusalem that's got streets made of gold. You got a city where the walls are of jasper. You've got incredible dimensions of a city that's far more expansive than an imagination can even dream up. Think of all of the things that you would love to be a part of your heaven. And yet the Bible says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. So it's not only a timeless kingdom, not only a treasured kingdom, but it's going to be a trouble-free kingdom. There's no more temptation. There's no more battles with antagonists of unbelief. There's no more opposition to your faith. There's no more worry or dread or anxiety or panic attacks or sleepless nights or having to wonder how you're going to pay a certain bill or how you're going to overcome a certain relationship conflict. No, my friend, you're going to be in a place that is timeless, treasured, and trouble-free. Be no more wars and rumors of wars. There'll be no more tension in the Middle East. There'll be no more unfairness and lack of justice, because when he comes again, remember it says that in righteousness he doth judge and make war. There is no fairer judge in all of eternity than Almighty God. And when he comes, it's not going to be a diplomacy. It's going to be a rod of iron. That means that his fair law rules the day. And you're not going to have to worry about fixed courts or paid-off judges or wicked attorneys or people that are puppets of perversion that bring into legislation the things that feed iniquity or that give allowances to the transgressive spirits of falling and failing flesh. No, this is going to be the ruling of a king. And not only that, but it's going to be the ultimate vindication of all of the things that have ever been done against righteousness by the evil kingdom of darkness. That's why the scripture says that after we see this vesture and on his thighs that name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the scripture goes on to say in Revelation 19, he said, I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And the scripture goes on to say, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that had worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake burning with fire and brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat on the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. My friend, when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes again, he's not coming to have diplomacy or negotiations with a serpent or a devil or the dragon or the beast or the false prophet or the empires of evil. These dominions of darkness are coming to their doom. They are condemned. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2, that wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. You see that the real Savior is coming. The real Prince of Peace is on his way. He doesn't lie about his miracles. He doesn't deceive with the treachery of smoke and mirrors. He doesn't need the sleight of hand or some magic trick or some illusion. He doesn't have to transform himself into an angel of light. Oh, my friend, he is not a substitute Savior. He is not a counterfeit Christ. He is not a make-believe Messiah. When he comes again as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he will set everything right. He will bring to purity everything that has been corrupted by the Antichrist. He will bring to liberty everything that has been bound by a lie, everything that's been bound by bitterness, everything that has been destroyed and ruined by the rebellion and deceit of an Antichrist empire. Oh, my friend, it's going to be a blessed day. It's going to be, according to the scripture, the great and the terrible day of the Lord. And the reason that it's great is because those who have lived by the grace of God, they're going to come with him. That's why in Revelation 19, when you go back, one of the verses there talks about, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, clean and white. That's the army, not only of the angels of Almighty God, but most importantly, the saints of the living God, those that were transformed by the truth, those that were born again of the water and of the Spirit, those that didn't reject the truth, but those that repented of their sins, were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, that were blood bought, that were spirit sanctified. My friend, it's going to be a glorious day because not only is Jesus coming on that white stallion of hope and deliverance and revelation, but the Bible says the people of God are coming with him. My friend, that's why it's not only going to be a timeless kingdom and a treasured kingdom and a trouble-free kingdom, but it's going to be a truly spiritual takeover. It's going to be a divine takeover. Everything that has ever lied, everything that has been built upon the sand of sensuality, everything that has been built with the house of cards that comes according to the philosophies and the lies and deceit of this world, my friend, all of that sinful human wisdom and the spirit of atheism and humanism and devil worship, all of that is coming to an end. There's not even going to be any scraps left. The Bible says that all of this is going to pass away with a great noise, and the elements are going to be burned up with a fervent fire. My friend, that is what's going to happen when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes. He is establishing a kingdom of peace and prosperity and power and that which is never going to end. That's why I'm talking to somebody right now that needs to stop living in the lies. You need to stop living for the temporary, the satisfaction of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. All of those things that appease the animalistic nature in us, all of those things that appease the behavior of darkness and evil workings, and because we've all were born in iniquity, and we were all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And I come to tell you today that you can be transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can be delivered by the grace of God, so that when the great and the terrible day of the Lord comes, you will be ready. You will be ready for the rapture, and you'll be a part of that great side, the graceful side, the favor side, because God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. And when we humble ourselves, it makes all the difference in the world. My friend, the King is coming. That's why Zechariah 14 says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will bring all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the cities shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city." Then the scripture says, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." You see, my friend, there is going to be a capturing of Jerusalem, a temporary setback under the satanic empire of the Antichrist, this end-time self-appointed Caesar, this self-deifying lie and treachery from the very pit of hell. But think about it, friend, that is just for 1 hour. What God is going to establish when the King comes, when the Lord Jesus takes over, is something that's going to be everlasting. And when it says he shall go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, that is a historical reference that goes back to what God did for the children of Israel at the Red Sea, when that fiery pillar separated the Israelites from the Egyptians, and then when he finally drowned the Egyptian army in the Sea of Judgment. So, my friend, there is a baptism of revelation that's coming to this hour, this generation. It's a truth that cannot be ignored. It's an understanding that comes with an unction of a divine explanation. There are things that are thundering in the distance and things that are being heard, but there is a surety, a sure word of prophecy, and that is that someday the Lord is going to be not only the ultimate defense of Jerusalem, but he's going to take his last stand. And the Bible says in Zechariah 14:4, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall be removed toward the north and half of it toward the south." Now, can you think about how glorious that's going to be when Almighty God steps onto the scene? See, the King is coming. Then the scripture goes on to say in Zechariah 14:5, "That ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee." You see, the King is coming. He's going to rule the day. He's going to reap the final harvest. He's going to tread out the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He's going to settle every account. He's going to bankrupt the enemy. He is going to crush every conspiracy of hell that has ever rose against the crown of the King of Kings. He is going to bring to destruction and to ruin the very son of perdition, because that's what the scripture prophesies about this end time Caesar, the Antichrist. He's a son of perdition. It's already built into him to have a ruinous end, to come to a place of destruction and the ultimate defamation. Oh, my friend, the king is coming, and he brings with him not just a peace that passes understanding, because in that day we'll be able to comprehend it. We'll be able to see visibly what we have believed invisibly. We will be able to see something that is beyond mere fantasy. This is not virtual reality. This is not the CGI effects of some Hollywood production company. These are more than the stage antics or the theatrics of things that can be scripted and put together by the inventions of men. No, this is the ultimate divine intervention. And he's not just coming to intervene. He's coming to take up residence. He's coming to sit on his throne. My friend, this king is coming. And I pray that somebody today would let that king come right on in and sit down on the throne of your heart, that you would no longer usurp the right of the Almighty God to the deliverance of your soul, because he purchased you with the blood of the Lamb. He purchased you and wants to give you that redemptive song. He wants to give you a redemptive end. He wants to give you a place of everlasting peace, not just something that is temporarily negotiated by a wolf in sheep's clothing or by somebody who sounds really persuasive, but they have no kind of principle or they have no kind of intention to follow through on the promises that they make. My friend, my God is not just some slick-tongued politician trying to get your vote. He's the Almighty God that wants your soul. He paid for it in blood, and he wants you to reap the benefit of that purchase in an everlasting city of hope, in a place of Jerusalem where the ruling is going to be with a rod of iron. That just means that his law is sure, his truth is steady. There'll be no questioning of his boundaries of avarice or the borders of his wisdom, because there has never been a fair judge like the Almighty God. He always gets it right. He never misses it. He is 100% accurate. There is no shadow of turning or variableness in our Heavenly Father. My friend, you serve a God today who knows how to bring justice, but he also extends mercy. He knows how to deal with pride and the profane, but he also knows how to gently handle the broken and the hurting and the hopeless. So you don't have to wander in a wilderness of confusion today. You don't have to stumble around in a thirsty desert, trying to figure out if that oasis in the distance is really true, is it authentic, or is it just another religious mirage? Well, my friend, Jesus promises that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Not just one little old stream of consciousness. Not just one little old mainstream of human opinion or majority thought. No, this is the multiplicity of rivers that come with the blessings of God, that deliver you from the blame of the past, that takes you out of the cages of condemnation, that brings you out of the depths and up the staircase, if you will, elevates you to a place that you can begin to live like you ought to be living. And you can have the love of God, because it's not just a fairy tale or even just now a religious saying that's become like sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. It truly is a revelation that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. It's a reality. It's a revelation. It's a redemptive hope. And I pray today that you get off of your island of despair, that you no longer be stranded in human opinion or in some kind of demonic stronghold or some addiction that you don't think you can break out of. The chain breaker wants to work in your life today because he is the king, and the king is coming. And when he comes again, he will bring the ultimate reward of everlasting hope and peace, joy and rejoicing in Jesus' name.
And how you walk along the road to that place where all will be asked of you. When I consider your cost, I feel that giving you my life is the very least that I can do.
I give you my heart, my soul belongs to you, Jesus. You are the one, the only one worthy of all of my praises. I give you all my heart, my soul belongs to you, Jesus.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to The Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to The Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about The Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.